This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is David Cone, and it's 3 p.m. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
Thank you, Coney, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, February 4th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half, that is your responsibility. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody's happy and doing as well as they possibly can. And want to take this moment, before we even get into the heart of the show, so to speak, to thank our listeners. Because I want to congratulate our listeners, guys. That's what I want to do.
Okay.
I want to congratulate them. Because each and every one of you people has made this show what it is. And today, we found out from a very influential radio, I guess you could say website, very influential, that in a vote of all the program directors in the country, it's not a ratings thing or anything like that, all the program directors in the country, we were voted, wait for it, the number one, the best afternoon drive show in major market in the entire United States of America.
Oh, that's right.
Now, we could stick our chest out, which we will not do. That's not what we're about. That's why I'm congratulating you, the listener, and on, yes, the viewer, because you people got us there. This family that we have developed has made this show what it is, where it's recognized in the industry. Should I say it again? The best, the number one show, major market afternoon drive in the entire country. Peter, say it again.
We are the number one most influential. I don't really understand. I didn't hear what you said.
Forget it. Don, help me.
That's unbelievable.
Well, I can't do the word for word. We're number one, baby. Number one. And honestly, the fact that this we've gotten this level of consistent support from our audience, it's amazing. And I got to tell you, this, you know, ratings are cool, and having people say, you know, nice things is cool, but when you get it from your peers and people yeah. who are it's right. That's a quality thing.
Number one major market radio show in the country. And nice. I remember, listen, I started at this radio station when there was like nothing happened. Nothing.
Yeah, look, Bear remembers.
Oh, yeah, Bear's excited.
You know, and because I was the first voice at this radio station. It was a startup. This September, it'll be 20 years. You know, and you would just dream of building an audience, just dream of making any kind of a dent. And the fact that we've been able to do what we've been able to do, I'm just so proud of it. So, and the people that have chose to listen to us, I'm happy for them too, because they made it happen. They made it possible. They gave us a chance. You know, they were patient with us when we were on a signal that nobody could get. They were patient with us when we were completely mismanaged and nobody knew what the heck to do with us. And over the last decade or so, we've gained the traction where we've got the right people in the right place. I've never been prouder of where we are from the general manager on down, from everybody that works on this show, that everybody puts an effort to sell the show. We finally got our act together, and now you can see what can happen here. And for all the people that used to stare into cameras, write in the newspapers, what a joke we were, how we're never going to get anywhere, what an embarrassment we are now looking up. So I'm going to take this moment to kind of crow just because this is my baby. I was here in its infancy, and it's grown into a mature athlete that is ready to dominate. So I'm very proud of you. I'm proud of Peter. I'm proud of Ryan. I'm proud of Tim. I'm proud of Anthony. I'm proud of Andrew. I'm proud of Brownshire. I'm proud of Steve Hart, Pete Daugherty. I'm proud of everybody because they all work their asses off to get where we are today. And it took a long blanking time. So if I'm going to stick out my chest for a couple of minutes, if I'm going to feel proud of myself and my crew for a couple of minutes, then you're just going to have to sit there and listen to it, because believe me, We were a doormat for a long time. Michael, you know, working mornings, getting shifted around.
We were a doormat for so long that I had welcome imprinted on the side of my face.
It's no joke.
Good for me.
When I saw that thing today, right, I woke up to it. Peter, the thing I thought, you ever see like sitcoms where a character starts to think back and all the things come flowing back? I think of Don on the side of the road by the transmitter in Jersey.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book. We had the top five like embarrassing moments in radio in the Michael K. Show history. It could have been a top 50.
I think of being on the walkway between the U.S. Tennis Association Center and then Shea Stadium with a tent because the Mets and FAN wouldn't allow us in Shea Stadium doing a show, and there was an unbelievable storm that came by, and the tent flew over onto the tracks of the Long Island Railroad where Don and I actually thought we were going to die with lightning and thunder, and then we did the rest of the show from the backseat of a Hummer.
And the reason it happened is because, believe me, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't faith in the four letters, all right? It wasn't necessarily faith in the direction of anything, but the faith in the few people that have been here from the beginning that knew what we went through and having faith in them. You know, for me to have faith in Tim and Ryan and Michael to just say, listen, this isn't working, but I think it will once we're able to get everything in place. And I don't know the exact date, Michael. I mean, going to FM was certainly a big step. I think the hiring of Justin Craig, I thought, was a huge step in the right direction, getting a radio guy in here. And, you know, but a lot of the guys that I mentioned, you, Steve, Tim, a lot of these, from the very beginning, Tim hired me. I remember being at the Fan getting a fax from Tim about how ESPN signed Army football. And I was thinking to myself, I'm excited because I knew that I had a chance to go work there. I was like excited. Hey, like they got Army football. I'm going to ESPN and they got Army football. And that was a fax from Tim, you know, announcing it. Like that's how far we're going, 20 years. So these little moments make me happy because we were flat out told to our face it wasn't going to. You'll make your money. You'll do your job. I had an agent sit down with me who said he could not get me a job in major markets like Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., because I was at a radio station that was going nowhere and nobody knew who I was. He wouldn't hire me. Now, guess what? I wouldn't hire him.
Vindication! Vindication!
Well, told by people I was wasting my time, told people you're going nowhere. We were going somewhere.
Well, they made some salient points, but bottom line, we are now.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was going to be this way. I apologize.
I didn't know either. I wouldn't have started it. It kind of got out of hand, Peter. It got out of control.
Don's a very modest guy, and he deserves a moment to cut a promo every once in a while. Grab that mic, stand in the middle of the ring, and tell him who's boss. I'm here for it.
Now, we spoke about this on the soft open, and it really wasn't mentioned much. It hasn't been mentioned at all on the TV side. Because the simulcast picks up at 3. By the way, yes, you'd think about starting at 2:55. That soft open is tremendous.
Peter's the former
champion, 24/7 champion of WWE. Something he'll have forever.
That's right.
But now there's an MMA fighter that threatened Peter today on Twitter, and I get a little scared for Peter. He's not a big man, and the MMA guy's a big guy.
It's Michael
because
Chandler.
Peter is yapping all the time on every kind of podcast, and sooner or later you're going to say something that's going to get yourself into trouble, and he did.
Well, hold on.
What did he say? I want to hear what he said.
Hold on. First of all, I don't yap on just anything. I was on DC and Harold and Helwani, Ariel's podcast with Daniel Cormier, and I did a guest spot with Ariel to talk about the 24/7 title and chat a little bit about MMA. And he asked me my opinion on this guy, Michael Chandler's, this promo that he cut after he won his debut match in UFC a couple weeks ago. And it was he sort of borrowed from a legendary Ric Flair promo at the Royal Rumble in 1992. And I just critiqued him and said, you know, listen, it was good for an MMA fighter, but it's not like the big boys who can really grab a mic and do the work like a pro wrestler.
Why do you have to go there?
And Chandler wrote, "Hey, Rosenberg Radio, watch your mouth and keep your head on a swivel.
That's never good, Don.
Hashtag 24/7.
Keep your head on a swivel means he's going to come at you from some angle that you're not going to see, and he's going to crush your skull.
Now, I got your back, Peter, as much as I can from here in New Jersey.
I don't.
During a pandemic.
I don't, because you started it.
But I don't think we're in the business to critique.
Not critique. You would defend Peter if he did anything.
No.
Because he's a teammate.
No, but you didn't attack his fighting style. He's a fighter.
Right.
He's an entertainer too.
Nah, but it's.
By the way, do you realize that Michael just made it a negative that you would defend me in any circumstance?
Right.
He just said, you know, look at you. You're a good teammate.
Look at you.
Yeah, you're disgusting. Now you want to talk about, if you really want to talk about something to defend me from, tell me if you guys think this is a nice statement to celebrate the accomplishment that you just mentioned.
Okay.
And that's because he says this to Michael.
Who?
This person who's a cool K. He has a horrifying Twitter handle. I can't even give it. It's just like a series of numbers and letters. It looks like it was assigned by a random.
It's like
selection.
Elon Musk kid.
Yeah, exactly. He wrote, "That's because of you and Don L. You'd be even better if it was only you two. I can learn things from you guys. I get nothing from Rosenberg." He adds nothing.
A lot. You know what? The Monday illuminated me to the fact that the reason you're so successful is that people are not lukewarm on you.
No.
Either they love you or they despise you. And there are a lot of people that despise you.
And I don't understand.
Monday's
well, you know
history,
what? A lot of people
hated
Howard Stern, too, and people couldn't turn him off. The more you hate somebody, you have to listen.
Oh, going back to Bob Grant days, hate listening is still registers a number.
Health.
I didn't think I'd be compared to Bob Grant today,
no,
but every
Bob,
day is
saying
different.
You don't think he was polarizing?
No, of course I do.
I'm just and he was a great radio announcer. I you're polarizing and a great radio announcer.
I just don't see what's so polarizing on this show. Is there something wrong with me?
No.
Polarizing.
See, here's
if people
the deal.
Felt,
it's what the country is. You don't say anything on the show that's polarizing, but people know what you're about from the other million things that you speak on, and they refuse to listen because they think you're not on their side.
So when they hear me talk, they instantly just go screw him.
Right.
Yes.
That's not nice.
So
or
that's
left.
No, it's not nice, but it's, you know, just.
Now, Andy Martino of SNY just tweeted, "There's a lot of talk in the industry that Trevor Bauer and the Mets are quite serious. Neither
Hello.
Player nor team side is confirming anything. Reporter has a spidey sense tingling, though. That's all I have for you now."
I wonder if they would give him more than a one-year deal.
Of course they would. I think they're going to give him a four-year deal with every single year is going to have an out.
Well, yeah, so in essence, a one-year deal, I guess.
Well, not for him. If, God forbid, he blew out his shoulder, it'd be a four-year deal because he'd be the one that has the outs.
Right. Well, that'd be interesting because I think they got some catching up to do, right?
Well, what do you mean? They've done a good job.
Well, but what I'm saying catching up is that we had a conversation, especially after Philadelphia brought back their catcher, that this is a team that could have a great year and still finish in fourth. Washington's improved. I think Atlanta's still the team to beat in that division, no? And Real Muto's back with Philadelphia. I mean, and Philadelphia does have one of the best players in the game. I'm not saying the Mets can't make the playoffs. I'm just saying with all the work that they've done and all the positivity, they still have three other teams to contend with in that division that are still pretty good. So I don't think the Mets' work is done. If they have to go into the season as presently constituted, I think they're ready to roll and be competitive.
But
you don't think they're
going
to face some resistance in that division?
Right.
But they have done a lot. I'm saying getting Lindor makes them really good.
Yeah.
Getting a better catcher than they've had in the last couple of years makes them really good.
So I agree.
I think they're okay. I think they've improved exponentially from last year.
Yeah, but there's still work to be done. No, I mean, you were praising Philadelphia for bringing back Real Muto.
Right, but they had a bad year last year. So
they're 500 for the last couple of years.
And wouldn't you agree? And they've underachieved, and Harper's underachieved.
Right.
So they could bounce back. The Nationals could go back to being, you know, I don't think they'll get back to the level they were at with when Rendon was there, but they could still be back at a high level. And then Atlanta's Atlanta. They're the perennially good young team of this division.
Super Week. on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Resorts World Catskills, featuring live table games, sports betting, all suite hotel rooms, and thousands of slots. Your closest resort experience. Resorts World Catskills, only 90 minutes from New York City. So close. So close. All right, so there's certainly a divide between when you come to sport, really in everything in the world. There are people that are older that remember things fondly the way they used to be. And then there are people that are younger that think that the way things used to be are not the way things should be, and they're glad that they changed. Which is my short-winded way of saying Dick Vermeil was on our morning show, one of our morning shows, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And he's upset with the way Deshaun Watson is handling things. Here's the former Super Bowl winning coach.
I'm a little disappointed, to be honest with you, because, you know, the image that he has presented coming out of college and through the draft and through his career so far in Houston has been so positive. And I don't think this approach really reflects what he has presented over the past few years. So I'm disappointed, you know, and I just don't think we can, anybody, whether it be that football team or the other 31 teams, start allowing players to step in and make decisions who runs them, who coaches them, and all these kinds of things. And I used to ask players about coaches and stuff like that that they had worked for on other teams and that kind of stuff, just to get insight and actually to add to my education and knowledge about people. But to get to the point where you're sort of demanding you want to say, I think is beyond the NFL player's contract.
Now he goes on to say players shouldn't run teams.
I think we all, from time to time, in communication with people, especially in the intense world of National Football League, say something that you can't back up somewhere down the road because everything changes. More often than not, when you don't expect to find yourself, especially when you know a person, in a confrontational position after you make a statement. So none of us are perfect, Keyshawn. You know that. I'm certainly not. And I've said a lot of things over my career I wish I hadn't said. I don't think I've deliberately broken an agreement or a promise with somebody through communication or poor communication, but I still think, of course, I'm a coach, or was a coach. I think if you want to make all the decisions as an owner, then buy your own team.
Now, I understand where he's coming from, but I think that football coaches are probably the most petrified of the power shifting to the players, because football coaches have to have the absolute obedience of players to make it work. Just look at the history of football coaching. Look at the book, The Junction Boys. I mean, to drive players to the point of exhaustion, almost death, in order to achieve a goal. Now, all of a sudden, if the power shifts to the players, they can't do that. Here's the problem with sports and the people that run sports. Let's say you own a company that makes those little yellow rubber ducks that float in a bath, right?
Okay.
So the workers are making the little rubber ducks, and the rubber ducks are actually the product that this company makes. And the people that make the rubber ducks, well, those are the workers. Well, in the case of sports, the players are the workers and they're the rubber ducks. So you can't replace the workers like you could in the rubber duck company and have, they'll make the same rubber ducks. Well, the players have finally realized we are the product. We're the widget. So not only are we the workforce, but we're the product. Now, I think there's got to be some semblance of honor when you sign a contract in September. And I've said this before, that I don't think it's right to change your mind that quickly, but I don't know what went on behind the scenes. I understand what Vermeil's saying, but times, they have a change. And I don't think guys like Dick Vermeil and Bill Parcells, and even a guy like Jimmy Johnson, I don't think they could coach in today's world, because players do have the power. Players have the power to tell a coach to go stick it in their ear, and players have the power to say, I want to get traded. And since owners don't have the backbone to stand up and say, you're not getting traded, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to rot for the rest of your career, they are going to be in power. And I can see why it would upset football coaches, because that's the one sport where you have to have total obedience.
See, the problem is, I don't even think it's that far with the obedience and stuff, because I think the modern-day coaches realize that the Junction Boy era is way over. I mean, these guys can't even train in pads anymore. The Players Association has changed a lot of that. I think what Dick Vermeil is coming from and what's going on with the Deshaun Watson situation are kind of two different things, okay? What What's being played off is Watson wants control of who the coach is. No, no, no. From what I understand is he got lied to. He thought he was going to have a say, and he's got no say. You know, it wasn't like he was demanding certain things. I think he just wanted to be part of the process, and he got lied to. But I understand what Vermeil's saying overall. I don't think in the NFL, it's not like the NBA, where, hey, LeBron James is going to run the Lakers, right? Because he's LeBron James. I don't know if that works in football. Like, I don't know if I can let one guy in football dictate who his coach is, get coaches hired and fired. You know, I don't think that's what Watson was looking to do, but I think what Vermeil is answering to is, I can't allow the players to run the franchise. And I agree with him. I don't think an NFL player should be allowed to run the franchise like they do in other sports. There's too many moving parts. So a quarterback's going to be like, I want this guy to be my head coach because it'll help me, but that might not necessarily be the best guy for the job or be able to help the defense or be able to help the all-around ability for the team to be able to go out and win games. Because I think there's just too many players. There's too many moving parts. That works in the NHL. It works in the NBA, where a Mark Messier or a LeBron James can be powerful enough to dictate who their coach is. But I don't think that works in the NFL. So I agree with Dick Vermeil. What's getting messed up here, Peter, is that I don't think that's ever what Watson was asking to do.
Yeah, this is a very complicated situation, and I think people are going to react to Vermeil's comments in a particular way. And I've talked about this before because of the inherent connotation of this conversation. There's always going to be a discomfort as long as the NFL is a place that is run 100% by old rich white men. Not 80%, not even 90%. 100% by rich old white men. There's going to be a little bit of discomfort about when other white people say that a player should probably not have any control. That's going to be an uncomfortable conversation. I've said this many times. I'll say it again. Those conversations can't start to get slightly more comfortable, and those opinions won't seem so cringe until there's some black ownership in this league. And I don't know if we're anywhere near that.
But clearly we saw a similar situation happen in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers certainly had a say on whether Mike McCarthy was going to go or not.
That's right. Why I disagree with you, Don.
Right, no
I
one
think
said
it can happen in football. If Patrick Mahomes all of a sudden doesn't like Andy Reid's face and goes to Clark Hunt and says, I want him out, Patrick Mahomes is more important than Andy Reid. He is.
No, and but I'm not.
It's all about power.
But I don't know if that necessarily works in football.
What do you mean it doesn't work? If he does it, it will work.
Well, it worked as far as getting it, but what I think Dick Vermeil is saying, is that the right thing? Is LaFleur necessarily the right guy for the Green Bay Packers because they're stubbing their toe like they did under McCarthy down the stretch, right? Is he the perfect coach? Did at the end of the day, did that worked out for Rodgers throwing 40 touchdowns and 8 interceptions? But did it get the Packers the Super Bowl they were looking for?
It's funny because he might not have liked McCarthy. I don't think he likes LaFleur. Well, I don't think he loves LaFleur.
Yeah, he didn't handpick LaFleur. It took them 2 years to start gelling.
Right. At the beginning, he didn't like him at all. I think he kind of gently nudged Mike McCarthy out, but in terms of him getting his choice, well, I don't think so.
No, but what I think Vermeil is, yeah, listen, of course it could work. I mean, listen, Mahomes, when you're talking about the quarterback of a football team, you know, but what I'm saying is you can understand whether it's ownership or a head coach saying, I don't know if that's the greatest idea in the world to have my superstar athlete play general manager. It might work for you know, LeBron James because, like, how many decisions are there to make, but does it always work? You got the quarter, as great as the quarterback is and as important as the quarterback is, there's still a half a game that has to be played on the defensive side of the ball, right?
No, you're right.
So making your quarterback happy is an exceptionally important thing, but you still have to bring the right person in. But I don't think Watson was asking to hire the coach. He was just asking to have a conversation, to be asked into the room.
But it's funny though, because he did have a conversation and they ignored him. So right,
that's why this is a different set of circumstances. Apparently they promised him he'd have a say and then they completely shut him down, and then Easterby is still on the plane flying to New England to hire the next coach. Right? So they lied to him. That's a different situation. What Dick Vermeil is arguing is a completely different situation than what's happening with Watson. That's the misunderstanding to me.
We have Dan Orlovsky on a little bit later on. We always love having him on. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback for the Dolphins. And Peter's favorite to make his Super Bowl pick, R.J. Bell. That's right, R.J. Bell will join us. And I just, before we go to break, I want to take Peter's pulse here. Did you like the rubber ducky analysis or
it
analogy?
It was in a word, troubling.
I love to swim.
Troubling.
Well, when was the last time someone used a rubber ducky?
My kids have rubber duckies.
I have a couple of kids. It's a very important.
So the rubber ducky is still going on?
Oh, yeah.
It's still a thing. Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah, I guess, you know, my niece and nephew had rubber duckies, but they turned 13 yesterday. So
if they have rubber duckies at 13, that's an issue. But I'm sure in the past they did.
No, they did in the past.
1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. We're going to take your phone calls when we get back on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
But if God got us, then we gon' be all right.
You know, it's not just Dick Vermeil who said, shut up and play. Brett Favre, who, you know, hasn't been retired for all that long, he said this yesterday to Yahoo Sports.
I'm kind of old school. I think, you know, you play, you get paid a ton of money to do a certain job and just do it and let the chips fall where they may. I think we make too much money to voice an opinion, but I'm not saying he's wrong. I think it's a different day and time, and it'll be interesting to see how the organization handles it.
The one thing that startles me in that statement, I don't know if it got you guys the same way.
Yeah.
We make too much money to have an opinion? So people that make a lot of money can't have opinions?
There's two things that got me about that statement. Number one, we make too much money to have an opinion. And also, I'm not saying he's wrong. Well, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
That statement didn't make any sense. And also, Brett Favre didn't try to push his way out of Green Bay?
Well, first, he kept playing that game every year, whether or not he was coming back. Finally, the Packers tired of it, and they said, okay, Rodgers is the quarterback. And then he decided to, all right, I want to play again. And they said, well, no, we have Rodgers is the quarterback. And then he tried to push his way to Minnesota, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, it wasn't a case of wanting out of Green Bay. He was willing to leave. He just wanted to go to Minnesota, and they wouldn't accommodate him. So then he went to the Jets for a year until he was
also wanted to wield his power every year and keep everyone guessing.
Right.
So it's still a different version of the same thing.
But isn't he really just saying, this is my opinion, it's not something that I think, that's something I wouldn't do. I don't think players should do it. But, hey, if Watson wants to do it, then I'm not going to say he's wrong. Like, he disagrees with him.
I mean, well, that's really tiptoeing on what he's trying to say.
No, I understand it. But, again, I think it's okay to have that opinion, though. I think a lot of people share that opinion of, hey, you're making $73 million guaranteed. You know, if you don't want to – like we talked about it with LeBron James. If you don't like it where you are, play out your contract, leave as a free agent. You know, or do what Matthew Stafford did. Go to the organization and just say, can we work something out here? You know, and he was lucky that the organization was willing to do something. You know, it wasn't like a grand statement, I'm not going to play for you anymore, trade me or whatever. I mean, he could have probably done this a little bit on the QT a bit if he wanted to. But, you know, I think it's okay to have a different opinion, and it doesn't mean you're bashing the guy. And he lived it, you know, and that's his opinion. That's what he feels. So is he that wrong? There's a lot of people that feel that Watson should just play until his contract is up. Your opinion was kind of that way in the beginning, Michael, wasn't it? Then we started to hear about how he was lied to and all that.
No,
but in
I
the
still
beginning,
think he's
it was
wrong.
Like,
you know why I think he's wrong? Because he signed a contract in September. Right. Things didn't change that much since September.
So
Hopkins had already been traded. There's no. I have the feeling that he signed a contract to get the security, and then he was thinking of an exit strategy. I think that's wrong. Does he have the right to ask? Yeah, I think the Texans should hold firm and say, you either play for us, or you're never playing again. And there were Chris Sims reported yesterday on good authority that Watson is prepared to sit out the whole year. Okay, enjoy yourself.
And that's obviously something that he can do. That's a power that he has. But I just don't. It's not you guys. It's the feeling like Vermeil and Favre, they're just wrong. They're the bad guys for disagreeing with Watson. I think there's nuance to this. I think you can have Vermeil's opinion and Favre's opinion without being stuck in the mud or some old guy in his old ways. I think there's I think there's conversation to be had about what's going on there in Houston.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Monty in Woodbridge. Why don't you start off, Monty?
Hey, Mike, how are you? Listen, I just want to – hi. I think it's you know, I think it's a slippery slope. I know he signed a contract, but I think we got to connect the dots a little bit. You know, Clowney, the Honey Badger, the Hopkins, they're all gone. You know, I think this is more about football, and these are name brand players. And I think Deshaun may, you know, they got together and he was like, okay, I'll sign a long-term contract. But, you know, I got to see where you're going to go with this team. I want to, you know, I want to be involved with the right coach or whatever. And if you do that for me, I'll sign this contract. To be honest with you, it's like I heard one of the announcers say, there's half the teams in the NFL they'll make their own quarterbacks walk the plank for Deshaun Watson. He could have got that money, okay, which is maybe his agent should have did that up front. But he trusted
yeah, but
them
you're,
and
you're,
said,
you're
okay,
really,
I'll
but
try.
Here's the deal, Monty. You're really not a free agent in the NFL because they can – if you want to escape an organization,
right,
they can simply put the franchise tag on you for up to 3 years. And the Cowboys have been playing that game with Dak Prescott. So the only thing that rubs me the wrong way, you signed in September. All the guys you mentioned, they were already off the team. So you took the security – in case, God forbid, you wrecked your leg during this season. You took the security, then you got through this season, you know, I want to get out. And you know, the way you're painting it is fine. I wanted to be involved in, you know, the coach. Well, he gave them who he wanted. He wanted Robert Saleh. They didn't interview him. I mean, it is their team. They do own the organization. They could do what they want. But they did. They did talk to him. They heard him. But they didn't listen. And it probably got him upset.
Yeah, because I think he was promised that Easterby was going to be phased out, and they lied to him. So I agree with Watson. You don't want to get lied to, Michael. That's awful. And those circumstances certainly changed. But what I'm arguing is the fact that should players have the power whenever they feel like they should be allowed to leave because the team is awful or whatever, wield that power when they're under contract. And in Watson's situation, maybe it's so unique because of the talent of the player and the level of the lie, that we can agree with him. But does that mean that every time a player wants to leave, he automatically should be allowed to leave? The way that Watson may leave, the way that we've seen players in the NBA leave, like Harden left? Is that the way the sports is going to be from now on? That the second things get hard, the second you don't want to be someplace, the second you don't get along with the coach?
Well, here's the big change in sports since we've been doing the show, Don. Players don't want to be part of the heavy lifting to get to a championship. They want to be part of a ready-made championship team. And LeBron kind of kicked that off when, you know, he got the big three to go down to Miami or join Dwayne Wade
right
in Miami. And then he did that getting Anthony Davis with the Lakers. Teams don't want to be part – guys don't want to be part of a long process. They want to be the finish of the process. That's the big difference. But with Watson, I don't know if it's about winning or losing – he must just hate that organization.
Well, you know, being lied to is a big deal. And if the reports are true and he was flat out lied to, then you can understand how awful he must feel about it. So not only were you lied to, you have an organization that many believe is maybe one of the most mismanaged organizations in sports.
Well, it's pretty bad. It's an embarrassment. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about it. 1-800-919-3776. You are always encouraged to join the conversation. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Who was the MMA guy that threatened you today on Twitter?
That was Mike Chandler.
Why was that?
No, but I may have said some harsh things about him on Ariel Helwani's podcast.
For a fighter, he did a pretty good promo, but let's not compare him to the big boys.
And Chandler wrote, "Hey, Rosenberg Radio, watch your mouth and keep your head on a swivel, #24/7.
Keep your head on a swivel means he's going to come at you from some angle that you're not going to see, and he's going to crush your skull.
Now, I got your back, Peter, as much as I can from here in New Jersey.
I don't.
During a pandemic.
I don't, because you started it. You would defend Peter if he did anything.
No.
Because he's a teammate. By the way, do you realize that Michael just made it a negative that you would defend me in any circumstance?
Right.
He just said, you know, look at you. You're a good teammate.
The Michael K. Show.
You're unbelievable. The scraps you get yourself into.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know what? I want to piggyback on that for a moment. Because when it was happening, it was kind of happening too quickly. So what you're saying, Peter Elliott Rosenberg, is that if you do something reprehensible, just because you're a part of the team, I have to support you? Absolutely not.
That's a teammate.
No, I've told Don this. If my sister did something terrible, I wouldn't support her.
Hold on.
I love her more than anything.
Well, that's not a good thing. That's not a good brother.
Michael, real quick. Listen, they didn't discover footage of me storming the Capitol. I simply called out an MMA fighter for not cutting a great promo.
But he's saying that if you're a teammate, I'm not saying it's reprehensible, but he's saying if you're a teammate, you support somebody no matter what. No.
No.
No, you don't. So you say you're not a teammate anymore. I hate you.
No, see, this is why you...
The
fact that we have to explain this to you is why you're a bad teammate. And again, I'm prefacing this by saying, and I'm going to disclaimer it by saying, you're a wonderful human being, exceptional talent, and I truly and dearly love you. You're just a bad teammate. Because I'll give you the hockey analogy, okay? You've got, like, Donald Brashear.
Yep.
It was a piece of garbage, right? But when Marty McSorley clubbed him in the head, you know, his teammates are supporting him. And you know what? If Donald Brashear had gotten up after he was clubbed in the head by Marty McSorley, then Marty McSorley's teammates would have come to the support of Marty McSorley. They wouldn't go, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that, Marty," and then let his head get beat in. They'd defend him because they wear the same uniform. Now, after the game, they'd probably say, "You know, you got to, what's the matter with you? You assaulted the guy on the ice." But when he's your teammate, you rally around the guy. If Peter Rosenberg punches somebody in the face unsolicited, all right, that's a crime. But if I'm walking next to him and he jumps somebody and then Peter gets jumped, I'm going to jump the guy that jumps Peter because Peter's my guy. That's
even
Peter's
if
teammate.
Even
and
if
then you assess it all
first.
After the fact, but the fact, I got to protect my guy. Then afterward, I'm going to go, "Peter, what's the matter with you?
Exactly.
You committed a crime, you animal."
No.
But in the moment, you got to protect your guy.
No, because then you're an accomplice. Because if he popped the guy first and then the guy popped him back and then you jump in and you fight the guy with Peter, you're wrong too.
Listen. What, I'm going to let my boy get beat up?
Sorry, he started it.
But I'm not the police. I'm Peter's friend.
Thank you, Don.
No, but no, this is life. I mean, this is not sports. This is not good guy, bad guy. This is just life. Peter is in the wrong about something, and a guy gets in his face, and Peter punches the guy, and the guy punches back, and Peter starts losing the fight, am I supposed to stand there as judge and jury and go, "Well, Peter, you deserve this pummeling"? No, I'm going to drag the guy off of Peter, and I'm going to defend Peter.
Thank you, Don.
But that's life.
No, but listen, if the three
I'm not asking that I'm some sort of superhero.
No.
I'm a living, breathing human being. That's what you do.
So the three of us, so real quick, just one more time here. Let's say the three of us decide to get wacky and go to Wembley Stadium for Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury, right?
Okay, that would be fun.
It would be a great time.
Yeah.
We're doing a live broadcast.
I love London.
We're doing a live broadcast from London every day. By the way, start working on this, Ryan.
It's USA Light.
It's USA Light. And we're doing our thing, And that night, we're all out partying, and I, after dinner, I'm a little tipsy, and you see me bump into someone, and the guys, someone says, like, excuse me, under their breath, and I'm like, ah, chill out, mate, and have a bit of an attitude. The guy then, you see, grab a bottle in his hand. He's going to go upside my head with a bottle for being rude. You, A, jump in, knock the guy right at the legs and take him out. You, B, yell, Peter, watch out. Or you, C, sit there and go, oh, man, Peter really deserves getting cracked with his bottle.
Well, because I don't think it's commensurate, what you said, to getting cracked with a bottle. So I wouldn't take him out at the legs. I say, Peter, watch out.
Oh,
but if the guy
the
wanted to punch you in the face, I say, you know what? He deserved it.
No, wow. Listen, you are who you are. It's worked for you for 60 years. All right? So I'm not going to change your mind. I'm not going to try. We don't have the time.
This is so sad.
Please make sure Charlie's not like you.
Yeah, make sure Charlie's better.
I wish both of my children are just like me. I'm an upstanding person. I don't do anything wrong.
You don't think that. You want them
I know I'm an upstanding person.
No. You don't want them to be like you. You want
just
them
like
to be
me.
Better. No.
Just like me.
You want them to try no foods?
Well, Callie's already there,
Peter, think about the verbal and physical altercations you got into in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, mm-hmm.
That were not about what was right or wrong.
That's right.
But just because you were with your boys.
It happens. This
Let
is
me
life.
Ask you a question, Don.
Yes.
And this is just out of the back of my brain. Your brother Dave, who you love,
mm-hmm.
loses his mind and starts killing people throughout New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
And he's arrested for it. You're going to defend him? You're going to say, that's my guy?
What do you mean defend him?
I mean, you're going to stand by him, or you're going to say, you deserve to go to jail, you creep?
Well, I mean, listen, he may deserve to go to jail. But I'll be at his trial. I'll stand by him. I'll comfort him as he's being taken away. I'll pay for his trial if he needs financial support. I'll be there for him. Not going to disown him. He's my brother. Even if he's dead wrong.
Terrible. Well, sorry. He's dead wrong. It supersedes brother.
So real quick, same reverse situation for your sister.
Yes.
You're just saying good luck?
Yeah, and I adore my sister.
Well, you're not. You think you do.
No, I know I do.
Well, you don't. You took your vows, right, with Jody?
Yep.
In sickness and health?
Yep.
In good times and bad?
Yep.
Well, what do you think that means? That means the same for Jody. You support your wife.
If Jody did something terrible, I'd cut bait.
So Jody goes on a killing spree.
Ouch, she's done. I changed the locks.
Why do we have to go to killing spree as if like what Peter did was a killing spree? Fact is, you defend your wife. You stand by your wife. Now, you could think she's wrong. Linda, you've got lawyers that are public defenders that know that their client's wrong, but they defend them because they get paid. So that's okay, because if it's a financial transaction, it's okay for you to sit there and defend the guy that's a known mutilator. But but blood? Like, you can't stand there and defend a guy that has the same blood coursing through your veins? Or somebody that you committed vows to? Or somebody that you spent the majority of your life with? Come on.
No, you do something wrong, you're done.
I wish Michael could be, every morning on Hot 97, we do a segment called Ride or Die, where we have someone call up with a fake scenario and trick a loved one. And say they're in a bad situation and they need the loved one to drop everything they're doing to come be there for them. Are they their ride or die person? And very often, Don, we do it where the person says something where you can tell they were clearly in the wrong. Like, I did this thing. I know I said I'd stop smoking weed, but I got caught anyway and the police are here and I need your help. If Michael were to be a part of that, he would instantly just be like, no, and hang up the phone. It would be gold. We've never seen it.
I would.
So normally,
somebody does something terrible, and I'm supposed to put my reputation and my life on the line? Sorry, I'm out. So what would that be, the die part? Because I'm not riding.
Yeah, it's die.
Well, I'm die. Bye.
So real quick. So Charlie and Callie, that's for them too?
Why? If they do something really wrong that I've told them not to do, get yourself out of it.
Wow. So one day, Charlie's 30 years old. He's having a great life.
Well, I'll be dead by
then. Let's assume you're not dead by then, for the sake of argument. Charlie's living a great life. All is well. But something happened. and he ended up having to shoot someone. It was not defense, though, but it was a bad guy. It was a bad guy. He'd gotten himself into a bad place. He only had one option, and he let the desertees breathe on some guy. I mean, rat-tat-tat. And Charlie comes to you with the gun in his hand and is like, I don't know what, Dad, I need help.
Well,
I need
now, wait,
to hide.
Was he defending himself and killed the guy?
He wasn't defending himself, but it was a very difficult circumstance in which this person could have become a danger.
Well,
but
that's he committed. I said, well, let's go to the authorities and we'll explain this.
That's not an option.
No, sorry, that is.
You're not going to hide him. You're going to turn your son in. That's
right,
what you're saying.
No, I'm not hiding anybody.
Oh, my God. You may not recover from this publicly.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm okay.
You're so worried about your reputation that you're willing to be this level bad guy.
I'm not a bad guy. I happen to be a good guy. I don't understand how you can think otherwise.
There's such things as
because we're listening to your words.
As friendship. These are not just, you know, when we just don't throw the word sibling, son, daughter, spouse, friend. They're not just words. They mean something.
Okay.
No, I'm being serious.
Okay, good.
You just give up on it.
And I put teammate there as well. That's your teammate.
My son is not going to be killing anybody for no reason.
Not no reason.
Well, so if there's a reason, then we'll talk.
Well, there's a reason. He got involved with this guy, you know, Frankie Johnson and...
Joey Badbutt.
Sure. Or Joey Badbutt.
Let's drop this because I'm bored of it already. You know what I am. Let's try not to expose it even more.
Okay, well, that's an interesting
all right, fair game. Enough. Let's move on. Back to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Goodness gracious.
Wow, that was great.
Let's go to the phones. Charlie in Warren County. Charlie?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I had some input on this on the Deshaun Watson case. I know you guys are a little past that.
No, we're never
past that.
They went off on a tangent, Charlie. That's their bad, not yours.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's a scenario. Why, you know, this year it's Deshaun Watson. Last year it was Le'Veon Bell. And, you know, who knows before that. But I think what needs to happen is 32 men, the owners of these teams, need to get into a room and just have a mandatory clause or something in a contract where, okay, if you're a Houston Texan for 3 years, you are playing with them for 3 years. Now, if you leave, go ahead, but the clause is saying that no other team is allowed to hire you for your services.
I love it.
Or something along those lines.
I love it. I love it, but there's always going to be that one rogue owner.
Well, there only needs to be one owner listening right now, and they can all get together and end the whole thing.
Well, first of all, Charlie, what you're proposing, although I like it, you think like I think, it's collusion, so they couldn't do that legally. But if they all stood firm and without any kind of agreement, maybe a tacit agreement, let's not chase other people's, you know, people. Because you know that there's an owner that wants to take a Deshaun. There's 25 owners
right.
that will seize upon the hardship that the Texans are going through right now. If they all said, once we have a person under contract and that person demands a trade, then that person is going to rot. Those people would not be doing that. The players would not do it if they know that you're going to call their bluff. But the other side is the owners are going to say, we can't let an asset like Deshaun Watson just evaporate into nothing. If he goes away and doesn't play, then that asset goes from asset to zero. So it's complicated. But I want to see if the Texans have it within them to say, we're not trading you. And you're going to have to sit there and not play. Because as Chris Sims is reporting, he knows on good authority, he said, that they would, in fact, that Watson is planning to sit out the whole year. So that means he's giving up close to $40 million. $40 million. Think about it.
That's a lot to give up. That's a huge sacrifice, right? See, we don't know all the details, but if he was lied to, then how do you not back Watson, right? Guy makes a commitment to you. Obviously, he benefited from that commitment with $73 million guaranteed and the security of that contract and the no-trade clause. But You can't put into a contract, we're going to talk to you about who our next head coach is going to be. How do you put that language in? So he trusted him, and they lied to him. And now he's trying to work his way out. This is a different circumstance than, I think, even the Harden situation.
But we don't know for sure what they've done. No. He has not articulated it, so it's only guessing.
Right, but those are the reports that are out there, and that seems to be the most conceivable thing. What changed since September? If it's not political, Michael, what changed since September? Yeah, they had an awful season.
O'Brien was fired. Maybe he loved himself some Bill O'Brien. I don't know. A Rachel Luba, L-U-B-A.
I just saw the same tweet.
Is the agent for Trevor Bauer, and she said down to two. So that means there's two teams.
So who are the other
Mets
team
are one of them. I guess it's the Dodgers. Right? It's got to be the Dodgers.
I don't know. Why do you say it's got to be if they didn't want to go over the luxury tax or the threshold or whatever we're calling it today?
Maybe they'll decide they want to. But what other team is going to dive in that deep?
Well, there's plenty of teams that have money, Michael.
Nobody wants to spend it.
No. Like I said, I'm be surprised. I don't know if he fits in analytically because they're so analytically driven now. But San Francisco, it's a big ballpark. They almost made the playoffs last year. They need starting pitching.
But they're not close to winning, not in that division with the Dodgers and the Padres.
No, they're not close to.
They'd be throwing good money at the bed.
Over 162 games, and then not with the playoff format going back to, it looks like, the way it was before. I don't think they're a playoff team. But I don't think they're throwing in the towel either. If they give him a contract similar to what the Mets are offering for 4 years, they don't think they can be competitive in the next 4 years?
I don't know. I mean, they're trying to build up what the Dodgers had. Their GM is from the Dodgers, so it's not quick. Let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. Anthony.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Curious about this subject about ride or die or having someone in your corner at all times. I'm curious how that relates to courtside Karen. That individual was just defending her husband, and how that relates to LeBron James kind of barking at her husband. Peter, especially you, would you have defended your spouse in that regard?
Well, here's how I felt about that. She gave that statement where she was like, any wife out there, if you're a real wife and your husband gets into it or something else, you have to jump in. I was like, that is insane. That is the last thing I would ever want. If I actually got...
Oh, so you agree with me?
No, well, no, of course not. I'm not a savage. I would never, if I'm having an altercation with another man, want my wife to jump in. That doesn't make sense. I would want to protect my wife from having any sort of physical altercation. The idea that she needed to jump in to back up her husband in a shouting match with LeBron James, first of all, as if that was going to come to fisticuffs, was insane. That's totally different.
But first of all, well, let's say I'm sitting, people allowed back at Madison Square Garden, and for some reason the Knicks are really short on celebrities, and they give me and Jody one of those celebrity row seats. And Jody is actually, like, getting so drunk. And then she starts to scream stuff at LeBron James.
Okay.
And LeBron James comes over and says, easy, okay?
Easy, okay, is fine.
I wouldn't say, hey, back off, LeBron. Now, if he cursed at her, I would say something. But Jody, you were wrong.
That's right. But what if he comes over and he says, chill the bleep out, bleep. Bleep, 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 bleep. You're not defending Jody because she's
drunk? I would
drunk?
Probably look at her, right, and go, what he said.
It depends on circumstance.
No, Michael would be the one to call security on Jody.
That's the thing.
Now, on a more serious note, okay, one of the health commissioners of New York City, we spoke about this yesterday. So starting tomorrow, Yankee Stadium is going to be a vaccination site for COVID-19 vaccinations. According to Mark D. Levine, there are still thousands of vaccine appointments available at Yankee Stadium next week. They are not disappearing fast. And he said this is good news but also bad news. It means New York City is not doing enough outreach to people on the ground. The city should have teams out all over the Bronx signing people up. We have a lot of listeners in the Bronx. Listen, it's your chance to get a vaccine. What are you doing? It's right there at Yankee Stadium. In your backyard, go get it. It's for only people in the Bronx, where the transmission rate in the Bronx is the highest of any of the other five boroughs. Go get the vaccine. In your backyard, the Yankees are making a stadium available to get the vaccine. Go do it. Thousands of spots available. What are you doing?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people, Michael, and I was watching this on the news today. Actually, Leonard Marshall was getting vaccinated in Paterson, New Jersey, of not just trying to get the message out to people that it's available, get the message out to people that it's safe.
You know,
and
Kareem
Abdul-Jabbar.
I think there's
a lot of people that are just apprehensive about the vaccine. I think that's, I'm not saying that all the people feel that way, but I think there is a lot of people that know where the vaccination place is. They just, they're apprehensive about it.
Well,
but everything we're hearing is that it's safe.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote a really fascinating column in the Times the other day. He said he disagrees with Charles Barkley saying that NBA players should get the vaccine because they pay the most in taxes. He said that's ridiculous. He said, but the government should use NBA players like LeBron James, popular NBA players, to get the vaccine, because that is a portion of the country that idolizes LeBron James that doesn't trust the medicine. And if they see LeBron James getting it, then that would open up the door that they would get it as well. They would trust it more. He said, so if the big NBA stars got the vaccine on television, like Elvis Presley got the polio vaccine on TV live, and that assuaged the fears of people in the United States to get the polio vaccine, and they did, and it essentially eradicated polio. So Jabbar said that if you can get NBA, Bill Russell got it today and said, this is one shot I will not block. You need that. You need that. Well, you need people that will speak to a certain portion of our populace that it's safe and it's good for you, ultimately. So, listen, I don't want to make any kind of statement. If you don't believe in the vaccine, you don't believe in the vaccine. I can't wait till I get the vaccine. I can't wait. I count the hours and the minutes until I'm eligible to get it. There's too many hours and minutes ahead before I get it. Annoying.
Because you're still a young, healthy man.
60. I'm moving up. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to join us next. That should be fun. So we'll talk to the former Jet, Dolphin quarterback, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're just about 24 hours away from having to make our picks, and there's a lot on the line. And I can honestly say that I'm vacillating between both teams. I don't have a real good feel just yet. I can say I'm probably leaning one way, but not to the extent where it would be very difficult to go the other way. I'm just waiting for any last-minute information, something that might, you know, set a light off on top of my head where I could go, oh, okay, I'm going to go that way. But this, I'll just lay it right out there. If you're not doing any thinking at all, if you're not trying to go inside the numbers like RJ just did, to me, I don't know if you guys agree, Kansas City's a better team than Tampa Bay.
That's correct.
I mean, their skill position players are just deadly to a defense. Who do you decide to stop?
Yeah.
Tampa's skill position players are also outstanding.
I think they're almost
there's no Tyreek Hill.
There's no Tyreek Hill.
There's no Travis Kelce. Gronkowski used to be great. He's not Kelce anymore. He's not at that level anymore. He blocks a lot more.
He still can make
big plays.
I was going to say, though, could you see a world, though, where in this game, where he has an opportunity to do this thing with Tom Brady, he absolutely just pulls out like a miracle game? Like, I could see that. I could. Similar to how in the horrid 13-3 New England Rams Super Bowl 2 years ago, where he'd been really not the same guy the whole year, but in the playoffs, he'd been better. You guys remember he had the game-sealing catch, an incredible catch down the sideline.
Yeah.
I could see Gronk being big in
but
for one
night. You can't
see
Gronk getting 140 yards like Travis Kelce in 13 catches.
That's hard to
picture. I don't think he's that player anymore.
But I think everybody's looking at this the wrong way, and I get it. You know, these are two big-time quarterbacks, probably the best in the league going up against the best in history, right? And it's been a lot of Tom Brady. The thing that's making this so difficult for me to pick is this Buccaneer defense has been so good.
Yep.
And that's why I think they kind of remind me a little bit of that 07 Giant team, where it was all about Brady, it was all about the big bad Patriots, but then the Giants, they developed a game plan to kind of slow Brady down, you know, and get pressure, and it became a low-scoring game, and that allowed the Giants' offense to do what they do. See, that's the difference, is that this is a dynamic offense for the Buccaneers that can really take advantage. But this, I could see Bruce Arians, I could see Todd Bowles. Their coaching abilities are really good. Bowles is a really good defensive coordinator. The way that this defense has played in the postseason, being able to bail out Brady with those three picks in the second half, that's what scares me. We talk so much about the offense, but what will these defenses do? And I could see this Buccaneer defense like really wreaking havoc, where it's not about the quarterbacks, that it really comes down to what defense is going to make the big stop and give the Buccaneers credit when they've had to. Against some big-time quarterbacks, I know Breeze is on the back end. I know Rodgers has had his issues in the postseason. But those are good quarterbacks, and they found ways to come up with big stops to get now, Brady the opportunity to win. And that's what keeps creeping into my mind when I analyze this.
Now, I know there's a lot on the line for everybody. Don could move ahead of Peter and win the championship. I could move ahead of Don and get out of last place and not have to dress up as an Eagles fan. So we're not going to tip our hands, but have you both of you guys made your pick in your head?
No.
Peter?
I've gone back and forth. I'll be honest. I've been leaning Kansas City the whole time. I have moments where I think, are you crazy? How could you go against Brady? But I think the logic that has sort of pushed me more and more towards Kansas City is only one of these two teams is capable of a blowout win. And that's Kansas City.
You know, that's true.
Tampa's no one thinks Tampa's blowing out the Chiefs. We all would not be shocked if it was 37-20 Kansas City. So that pushes me towards Kansas City, just that, you know, and also I'll tell you what, I felt a lot differently about New England at +3.5. And we have to figure out what we're doing with our line, but the line now is 3. And I don't see how we change that line, guys.
Not New England, Tampa Bay, you mean.
I'm sorry, I said New England?
Right. Well,
Tampa Bay now is
quarterback
getting
is New England.
That's right. Tampa Bay is getting 3.
Well,
they were getting 3.5.
Well, by our law, then that drops it to 2.5. Because the Bucs are the home team. So if that line's 3,
but the Bucs are. But Andrew and I were just discussing this. Are they the home team?
No, they are the home team. Not
they are the home
because
team.
They're playing in Tampa. The NFC is the home team this year in the Super Bowl. So then by the letter of the rules that we put together years ago, that line drops to 2.5. That changes everything. Because here's the thing. I can't see it being a blow. I think this is going to be a great game. I really do think it's going to be a great game.
I think
and that
right.
hook scares me. Because I'm with you. I think Kansas City's the better team. I believe Kansas City's going to win this game for that reason. I cannot say they're going to do it more than 3 points. If that line drops to 2.5, guys, that's a major shift. It's a major shift. Take a look. This game is going to be close. I really do think it's going to be a close game.
What do we have right now, Andrew? Are we looking at 3 in the line that we use?
So the line is 3. But
so then that would drop it to 2.5, like Don's saying?
So say it again, Don. The NFC is the home team?
Yes.
Then the half point goes to the Bucs, which would make it
3.5.
Why am I getting confused now?
It would make it 3 if they gain.
Would make it 3.5 then if it goes to the Bucs.
No, because the Bucs are the dog.
2.5. Oh yeah.
So 2.5.
Make it 2.5.
Then it drops to 2.5.
Yes.
Oh, it helps because it. Okay.
It helps Kansas City.
That's why we got to change this because it really is bogus.
Well, so I was going to say though, but it's weird since it's a Super Bowl. Should we just keep the number at 3? And if it's a push, it's a push, and you don't get points.
No, but then if it's a push, then you end up winning on a push.
Yeah, no, it would be over.
Well, what do you mean? But well, that's going to be
if it's a 3-point game, you win.
You mean there's no
way anybody could catch you if it's a push. Don can't catch you. I can't catch Don if it's a push.
Well, it increases your odds to win. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it increases your odds to win.
Yeah, but it's also weird. To me, it's – listen, I hear you guys. I'm not – I don't care if we do that. I was just suggesting it because it's a weird situation. It's also weird to be picking the Super Bowl with a different line than the entire planet. It is. It's a little odd.
Well, that's why we're going to stop this. And we're also going to stop the nonsense if we're going to bring in extra people. None of these – we picked the game. I mean, RJ did everything but pick the game. We had him on. Right? So we're great with parlays and everything. The guy's betting six figures on everything but the actual, you know, result
of
the game.
Well, again, for those that missed the segment, his best bet is Sammy Watkins over 28 yards
right.
receiving.
So,
Which, by the way, I couldn't find on my app. Looking at FanDuel, I didn't see the Sammy Watkins yardage. And then Andrew saw the Sammy Watkins yardage elsewhere at 36. So if you could find it exactly the same price he has it at, it's 28.
Can you imagine, though, having six figures on this? And it's not on just one bet.
No, he's throwing it all
over.
It
could be six figures. He could, you know, he could go 50-50 and the whole day's a push.
Well, kind of makes sense. It's what you do for a living, right? And it's the biggest gambling day of the year.
But that doesn't mean that you have to gamble the most. I mean, if you like, you know, Temple against Fordham and you love that game, then you could make your big money for the year on that game. You don't have to bet on the biggest game of the year. I mean, since it's, I think it's people that don't make their living gambling that they bet the most on the Super Bowl because that's the most interest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the lines are moving all over the place because there are so many people betting it, so he's keeping an eye on that. And because and there's so many more props.
So who do you like, Kansas City?
So many more things.
Again, you said you had to squeeze it out of him, but was it? I think he said Kansas City if it was 3.5.
Right. So he's on the same fence I think everybody is.
But he even said at 3.5, he said at 3 it would be Kansas City.
Yeah.
He said 3.5 the hook bothers him.
Yeah, but he probably still would pick Kansas City. I just think we talk all about the quarterbacks, and I think this defense could, this Buccaneer defense can have a say. And also, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I'd like to root for the team I want to root for rather than the pick.
Well, who do you want to root for?
And I'd like the Buccaneers to win this game.
Because of Arians, because love
Arians.
Because
of Arians, because of JPP. I think it'd be great for him because I think he's so underrated. I mean, he's really put together a tremendous career. If he can add another Super Bowl ring to his resume, I'd be so happy for him. I'd be happy for Arians, you know. And there is a greatness to Brady that we're seeing here. And also, I don't know if Andrew feels this way. I want to keep the number of teams that have beaten Brady to a minimum. Right, Andrew? It's like nice to know that our teams were the only ones to beat him.
I totally relate to that, yes.
Well, I mean, but now it's different. He's on AARP, so I mean I don't think people look at it the same way.
No, I know, but it's still like there's always gonna be those teams that have beat Brady. He's only been beaten three times, and two times by the Giants, once by the Eagles. I mean, that's kind of a nice thing to say that, you know, if Brady ends up winning another ring.
So let me ask you this, Don. You have to catch Peter. You have to hold me off. So Peter has pretty much tipped his hand that he's leaning toward Kansas City.
Leaning.
Which leads me to believe that he's taking Kansas City. So do you automatically say I'm taking Tampa Bay then?
No, I don't want to play that game. I want to pick who I want to pick, you know. Because I also have to factor in you. As much as I want to beat Peter, I also don't want to finish in last either. So I've just decided that I'm going to play it straight.
Oh,
who do I think is going to win the game?
Oh, this is fascinating. So if I was to guess leaning, it sounds to me like Michael's leaning Kansas City. So if Michael and I both bet Kansas City and Don bets Tampa, it's all on the line.
It's all.
I mean, that is incredible.
I'm actually frightened. That's why year, I've never said this on the air before, I'll be the moderator. I think I'm just going to recuse myself from picking. I don't enjoy Sundays anymore because of this pick segment.
But
I don't.
Honestly.
This is so weak and
but
sad this that is, you're saying this out
you know what, you know what,
it's
Bob?
Not
I don't,
fair.
Listen, I had this conversation with my brother when we did our LaGreca TV, you could subscribe.
Don. That's not a good promo.
Why?
Peter gives long-winded promos. Tell them where they can subscribe.
Excuse me?
Well, it's on YouTube, LaGreca TV. Subscribe on YouTube. And we did our guilty pleasure movies. And I said, you know, David, the problem with this guilty pleasure thing is that you kind of have to be embarrassed. We're not easily embarrassed.
That's right.
So
look at
it's
you.
Not wearing the, you know, Fly Eagles Fly outfit. That'd be funny, whatever. It's just that I hate losing because of Michael. because he's such a hack when it comes to winning. Finishing in last place, the loss to me, the punishment, is the next day, that Monday, having to go on the air and having him hang on the rim and how he beat me and how I'm supposed to be the guy that knows football. That's what puts the pressure on me. It's never the punishment.
Peter, I'm going to tell you this. I haven't even said this off the air. If Don picks Team X and I pick Team Y, and Team Y wins, and I move into second place, and you're the champion, I will come in on Monday and do this. I will hang on the rim over Don. It's just, your championship will mean nothing. Just like the 24-7 bout. Nothing.
Wait, no. My 24-7 title meant a lot.
No, you don't have it anymore is what I'm saying. But I will celebrate like never before. Because I know it will hurt Don more.
That's why
he's celebrating and then having to put on an Eagles like celebratory uniform.
That's funny stuff. I mean, people think that's funny. We'll probably do it at the beach bash. It'd be great to be back with people again. That'll be the least of my worries. Losing to you.
I'll tell you, and I very much want to beat Don and get a win under my belt for a season. Like, there's no doubt. Like, I haven't won one. I've come in second. I've come in third. I've never come in first. And the comeback was pretty amazing, and I'd like to seal it. But I don't feel a ton of pressure knowing I'm not coming in last and knowing that regardless, the last 6 weeks was an incredible run. I'd like to beat Don, though. I would.
Now,
I'd like to.
I have some breaking news. I need a sounder.
Please be real.
We have our first celebrity Super Bowl pick.
Okay.
Yankee manager Aaron Boone, 34-21, Chiefs.
See, this
now,
is why...
if my memory serves me correctly, both Don and Aaron Boone last year nailed the score exactly.
That's right. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was what did I just say? I said, couldn't you picture the Chiefs winning 37-20, but you can't picture it the other way around?
I think you actually said 34-20. So this is 34-21, Yankee manager Aaron Boone, lock it in. It's locked in. That's his pick. Does that sway Don and Peter?
Hey, listen, I told you, I'm on the fence. You know, I'm going to dive into a lot of work tonight. I got the Rangers I got to do, but I'm only doing the pre and post, so... I'll be down in the basement.
But for the record, Don, well, see, the thing is, here's the thing, Don, I have a question. What do you care more about, beating me or beating Michael?
Me. He said me.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, and it's not me. You know, listen, I'd love to finish
first. No, he's more
first.
Annoying than me. I get it.
No, but just finishing first would be great. But it's between first and last.
That's a big swing. As they say in the business.
If I turn out to have the same as Michael, I'm going to go, and then whatever happens with you.
Anthony Greek of Yes says, RJ Bell is crazy. According to DraftKings, Sammy Watkins is 36.5 yards. How does he give us 28?
Because he's in Vegas. He's probably getting a different line. I'm sure there's a bunch of different ones.
Like I said, I didn't even see it on FanDuel, so. Thank you.
All right, we've got Orlovsky. Dan Orlovsky is going to break it down for the people. Maybe he sways us because he's got information.
Well, I want to know what he had last year, all right? I know he's got information, but I want to see what his track record is. Because we all have information.
Now, by the way, in OJ and AJ Cowling's car, money, a disguise.
AC.
AC Cowling and a passport. Yeah, good friend.
But how about this? I'd be Kramer to Pincus because all he wanted to do is go home to see his goldfish.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I'd be Poppy, I think, in the whole thing. 1-800-919-3776.
Yeah, you pee on the couch.
It's Kay. LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.